Hey guys, this is John Tucker here with another episode of E-commerce Town Hall. And today I've got Greg Zachowitz on from OmniSend. Greg has an insane amount of experience with email. He's been involved in email marketing for over 15 years. So he remembers the days that some of you will remember where you had to work with the IT team to get a list of people that bought your product, for example. Seems crazy now, but that's where the industry started. And he's been able to see the evolution of the industry over time. So he's got, really interesting perspective. At OmniSend now, what they're really focused on with Greg and the team is making it easy to drive results with email. So not having so much additional workload that comes from building email as a channel. So part of that focus includes having pre-built automations rather than having to rebuild from scratch or build from scratch on every automation. They have SMS integrated directly within the platform in a really effective way so you can have email and SMS in the same automations and a whole bunch of other things. What we're going to dig into today is Greg's insights from analyzing literally billions of emails and over 30 million SMSs from the OmniSend system to really understand what is it that brands that drive big results with email do differently, right? So that's going to drive a lot of insights for you, I think. You're going to see what automations are most impactful and kind of a prioritized list of which ones drive the best results. Also, how to find the balance between, building these automations, making them really robust while still getting the results out there and being able to drive revenue. And then we also go into a really simple, super simple, but effective way to basically segment communication within the automations that will drive a lot more results. So what I would say is if you haven't done a deep dive audit on your email channel in quite a while, then I think you're going to get a lot of ideas from today's episode. So stay tuned, dig in, and be sure to implement what you learn in today's episode. We'll see you in there. Welcome to E-commerce Town Hall, where 6-, 7-, and 8-figure e-commerce store leaders learn how to scale and streamline to get to the next level. On each episode, you'll see strategies from the industry experts behind successful stores that you can take back and apply with your teams right away. The show is brought to you by HelpBlow.com. HelpBlow provides 24/7 live chat teams to over 100 e-commerce stores and can help you drive more sales while providing an awesome customer experience through their live chat agents. Check them out at HelpBlow.com. But for now, let's dive into today's episode. Hey guys, welcome back to the E-commerce Town Hall podcast. Super excited to dig in today. So today we got Greg Zachowitz from OmniSend. And OmniSend, if you guys have heard of them, helps stores really increase sales with email, SMS, and automation with a big focus on not creating additional workload. So really making the platform easy to use, easy to drive results. And that includes things like pre-built automations. So they have a lot of pre-built automations for, welcome series, abandoned carts, transactional emails. You're not starting from scratch and using their system to build everything. There's a lot of pre-built stuff that's just ready to go and turnkey. They also enable you to segment really well based on a whole bunch of different factors. So you're saying the right thing to the right people at the right time. And a big factor for them too is having email and SMS in one tool. So you can hit really both of those channels. Again, right time, right place, right channel, all from within a single platform. So super, super excited to have you on the show here, Greg. What we're going to go into is really how to evaluate the health of the email channel and tactical ways to improve email as a channel. And Greg's seen the inner workings of a ton of different accounts. And so he's really going to like pull back the curtain and show you like, here's what we've seen by seeing hundreds, if not thousands of accounts, mashed up together to understand what works and what doesn't. So for the listeners, you can definitely use the takeaways from today to really improve email as a channel for you. So before we dive into it, Greg, take us through your background. I know you have a ton of background in MarTech, ton of background in email. Kind of paint us a picture of like, where does this experience that you're going to drop today come from?
Yeah, well, we'll start with college because I went to college for radio broadcasting. So it's right on par. Also apologize, I talk with my hands and I've got a green screen in the background because I'm in the middle of painting and moving and things like that. So my walls are kind of beat up right now. So it might not look like it, John, but I've been doing email for 15, 16 years now. It's kind of nuts if you go back and think about it. But so I started when I pivoted from radio into marketing. I went to work for a startup radio promotions company. And that's kind of where I got into the email marketing side. We were doing in-person list growth and you know, emailing afterward, trying to move the needle on e-commerce a little bit, which eventually took me into a full scale, like digital media publishing company, where our sole primary method of marketing for the division I was in was email marketing. That's all we did. So it was still early days, right? There was card abandonment, but not really. You kind of saw it on a more B2B side than anything. And I was there for multiple years where I just started learning different techniques with subject line and copywriting, and then you and segmentation, which back then we were doing with MySQL, right? So we had a guy who was like, hey, these are the segments I want. And he'd go through and like create the segments. It was crazy. And, you know, we did a lot of the bad practices. We did a lot of the good practices, but you learn as you move through. Eventually took me to the MarTech space with a company called Bronto, which was an email provider. They were still, they were established, but still a startup environment. I think I might've been employee like 54, 56, somewhere around there. And I was with them for 8 years and went through two acquisitions with them. And we kind of watched the market evolve into what it is now, which is just an insane email, digital media, digital, commerce. E-commerce has blown up over the time. And when I was with Bronto, I was doing client consulting. So I was working with clients, e-commerce companies around the world, most in the US, but Australia. I did a lot of Australian clients, some UK and Canada. And I was going through and digging into their email programs and figuring out what we're going to talk about today are gaps. You know, how do we identify the gaps they had to drive additional revenue and merge into SMS and things like that to really improve the program? So did that for 8 years, a couple of different roles. And now I'm with OmniSend. I've been here for about a year and a half now. Very similar to what Bronto was back in the day. I think I was employee like 52 or something. So I'm at this 50 mark. And it's a great company. I mean, the tools and what we have from a platform standpoint are absolutely phenomenal. You went through some of that before, but I think the really cool thing, which you didn't have 8 years ago, was, you know, I'll talk about resources today, but we have, you know, if you talk about any brand, even some of the large brands, there's one or two people on an email team. They're doing other things other than email. And we're really, you have this balance of time versus what can I do, right? With a limited time, the tools now, like you can just do stuff, right? You can automate it. You can do messaging. You can increase revenue, even though you have one or two people on your email team. And that's really, I think where you were 10 years ago, you didn't have that type of stuff, the platforms that allowed you to do those. And now we do. And that's the cool part, because we can identify gaps and we can move quickly on filling those gaps and starting to increase revenue from there. It's a really long answer for you, John.
No, it's good. Honestly, like, I think it's so cool to be able to see the evolution of the entire industry, because like it enables you to appreciate the tools that you have, right? There's always room to improve the tools that are current, right? But you remember what it was like to not even be able to do the query yourself, right? You got to work with a SQL guy to do the queries and, you know, get something back and then send it, you know? And now it's like you could probably do that in 6 minutes, 4 to 6 minutes probably in OmniSend or any system.
I mean 20 seconds for some of these things, right? It's nuts. Yeah. I used to wait 48 hours for a segment. I could do it in 20 seconds now. It's unbelievable. Yeah. But it gets you a nice perspective.
Absolutely. Like seeing that evolution, I think is key. As we get into it, let's kind of fast forward to where some of the data you're going to talk about today comes from, because you have that perspective of, you know, the whole industry, right? But for the gaps you're going to talk about, the insights that you're seeing with email, where do those come from on the OmniSend side? Like walk me through, I know where it is, but walk the audience through, you know, where it comes from.
Sure. So last year we put out these quarterly reports on email metrics, benchmarks, right? And we did more than quarterly, but we started doing quarterly reports where we're taking the data out of the OmniSend platform. So we were looking at promotional email sends. So those are the ones that you schedule on a daily basis, automated sends and the type of automation, SMS, web push notifications. And we were pulling that out on a daily basis. And we put together not only quarterly reports, we did some holiday ones, we did a year end one, which obviously encapsulated the whole year. But we were looking at 2020. We also looked at 2019. We have some 2018 data for the holiday stuff as well. And then we did a couple one-off ones. We looked at, when I joined the company, I was in Lithuania, which is where they're headquartered, when COVID kind of blew up. And I got home and a couple of days later, they shut down the borders. And, you know, so COVID was obviously, we'll talk about it today a little bit, because it's certainly still impactful, but you know, how the question became in one, how do we get these metrics out of these reports? And then two, like what impact did really COVID have on these opt-in channels like email, SMS? We wanted to see what we classified as quote unquote pre-COVID and then quote unquote post-COVID, which is really when stay-at-home orders, you know, started being issued around the US. And so we were looking at over 31 billion emails sent. We, or I'm sorry, 31 million SMS and web push messages sent. And then I forgot the exact number of billions of emails we looked at too. I could dig that up here in a second, but I should probably know that right offhand.
So if it's billions, we'll just say billions.
That's yeah, billions. There you go. So we're in good shape there. I had a number memorized before. So we were putting out these reports. The year-end report really is what we're looking at. So we can see over billions of emails, which ones are performing, open rates, click rates, conversion rates. We can look over a period over time. Reports are on omnisend.com under the resources section. None of them are gated. So you can just go there, poke around as you wish, check out what is interesting to you or not without having to give us any information. That's the beauty of it, right? We just want to make it publicly accessible. So that's where the data is going to come from.
Awesome. Awesome. So we'll put that in the show notes also, guys, so that we can dig into that after. But walk me through like the gaps that you were seeing, the differences between stores that seem to be doing things well from a metrics perspective and you know, not doing things well. Kind of, you know, just walk us through what the insights were after seeing all of that data and kind of paint a picture for listeners of how they can apply some of those insights to their store, how they can analyze their store using some of the insights from the data that you're going to talk through today.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is, right, we have a mantra at OmniSend of increasing sales without the workload. And I talked about it a little bit before, kind of teased it, that we just know people are strapped for resources. They're strapped for time. They can only do so much. I think the thing we pull out of this stats report that kind of jumps at you is automation is the key. And this has really always been the case, but automation is a key to increasing those sales theoretically without the workload, right? Because they're running in the background, they're driving sales while you're asleep. What the difference we're finding is the brands who are consistently increasing the revenue from the email and SMS channel are the ones that have more automations in place. So you know, if we look at the entire 2020, we had 29% of all email sends, or 29% of all email orders in 2020 came off of automated messages. It accounted for less than 2% of email sends. I think it was 1.8%. So around it. So if you think about it, theoretically, not the case, but theoretically, you can never schedule an email for the entire year and you'll still maintain 29% of your revenue a day. If you think about that from sole practitioners who are doing email, all right, some of these are big brands, but they're doing them. One message at a time starts to fill a small gap, but it increases the revenue, which provides you a little flexibility to spend more time on filling the next gap or optimizing what you had or adding to what you had. At the end of the day, it's the automation is what the successful brands are using that the ones who are struggling, they're playing catch up or they're struggling to get started or recognize the value of email and SMS. They're just doing scheduled sends and they're not relying on the automation. And if you want to boil it down to a simplistic matter, you need to automate things. Now, you could automate a million different messages. The stats report by looking at that, I think will help you determine where do we start, right? Low hanging fruit that's going to get us the best bang for the buck. And then we start implementing those. So it's almost like a checklist, if you will. Look at the metrics and say, okay, where do we start? High priority, low priority. Let's start knocking them off the list. And I think if you boil it down, automations, what separates the winners and losers.
Yeah. And what are the automations that seem to drive the most? You know, like I'm assuming abandoned carts top, like high, maybe top of the list, but like if there's a list of, okay, assume we have nothing and you guys have all this pre-built stuff anyway, right? For like a new OmniSend user that's saying, okay, I just want to maximize this as quickly as possible. What's the laundry list as far as prioritized order of which automations to get in place out of the gate?
So I'll give you four to start with. And I think these are the kind of the baselines. I think these are the four that every e-commerce brand should have. It's the bare minimum, right? It's the new best practice. Then you can optimize them from there. So welcome message, no brainer. This has really always been the case, but I think the purpose of a welcome message has changed over the years. We talked about like kind of seeing the evolution of the industry. It used to be about one thing. Now it's about feeding customer intent and driving them toward that point of purchase. We can get into that a little bit later, but welcome message, I think last year, if my memory serves me correctly, conversion rate across welcome messages was 52%, which is just ridiculously high. But this talks to the customer intent standpoint so much. So welcome message, you mentioned cart abandonment. Absolutely, absolutely. Browse or product abandonment, right? The same thing, just different strategies behind it. But that is, you think about window shoppers, right? They don't cart a product, but they're checking something very specific. We can then set an automation there. And I'll talk about why I think that is a bare minimum now for companies. And the fourth is post-purchase. And we could debate the fourth one a little bit, right? If you look at the stats report, one of the things you'll see is the metrics between post-purchase and lapsed purchase messaging. They're very comparable. And I think the lapsed purchase might have slightly higher conversion rates. So the question then is, well, why would you go post-purchase? I used to battle with clients about this all the time. We used to debate this and I'm like, no, do the post-purchase first, right? So, you know, I would tell them post-purchase are your recent customers. Those are the ones you need to nurture the drive. When you're targeting lapsed purchasers, it's a great tactic to do, great automation to have, but you're waiting until they lapse before you target them. Because they'll go, well, they already purchased from me. Well, I'm like, well, so you're post-purchase, but it's your chance to prevent the lapse. And that's why I always say post-purchase first. All right, it's the nurturing ability. You try to drive them to a second purchase, third, and so on. So welcome, cart, browse, post-purchase would be my four.
Awesome. Awesome. And we'll try to put in the show notes too, you know, resources of, you know, how to best structure some of those. But question, and this might be like the next gap that you see, or maybe it's related to some of these, but, you know, what I'm hearing from you on this part is automations are super, super important. The stat you mentioned was 29% of email orders came from those messages, even though it's like 2% of sends. Yep. So like, that's like the definition of not increasing workload, right? It's automated and it's 12%, but it drives all the results. Is there any big gaps within those automations that you see, or, you know, what are some of the additional gaps that you noticed that stores that were doing well seem to attack well? Like, what are the other things that listeners should be focused on other than, you know, making sure that they have these automations dialed in?
Well, I think a couple of similarities, and so shameless plug, but not a shameless plug, is just more of a proof point. So I host the Cart Insiders podcast at OmniSend. So this past season was interviewing customers of ours on specific automations. We had a customer talk about their cart abandonment strategy, and they broke down exactly what they do, how many messages, whether they use incentives. So some of this context that I'm going to talk about is based on these customers here, but I think the similarities that we find for customers who are doing these things well. So yeah, I'm getting more out of my cart abandonment than, say, XYZ brand over here, is that they're implementing one at a time and then they're implementing multiple of them. So if you think about, yeah, let's get one cart abandonment out, let it run, let's do its job while we work on a second cart abandonment and third cart abandonment. Same thing with any rule series. And they're letting the revenue come in the background and they're implementing one at a time. I think that's where one of those gaps are. Because a lot of times you go check the box. So you say, okay, Greg said, I need a welcome message. All right, let me put a welcome message out there. Check, and let's move on to the cart. Instead of saying, okay, well, we need to feed the welcome a little bit more now. So we have the one message, which is high intent for the shopper. That's why it converts so well. But message two and three, if we do those well, we're going to convert the people that maybe missed the first message or we didn't convince them enough. And the same thing goes for all these other messages where you implement one at a time rather than waiting till all three messages are done and perfectly optimized and exactly how you want them before implementing them, because then you're just waiting and you're leaving money on the table. That's the one similarity we see. One at a time doesn't need to be perfect as the other one. And this is, I mean, I struggle with this with my own job from time to time as well. It's like, I want everything to be great. I want everything to be perfect. I want this podcast to be as best as it possibly can. The truth is I'd rather do a good podcast and a great podcast if I can get five podcasts done at the same time, right? Yep. So we struggle with this as marketers. I think this is human nature, but marketers, right? I'm one of them. I fall into this trap of I need everything to be perfect. So it's got to be optimized perfect. I have the right splits in the workflows rather than just having a good message out there. And if you can kind of relate it to say like a reorder reminder, for example, right, I got a 30-day supply of something. A lot of companies will go, well, I need the header to be perfect and I need the dynamic content to pull perfectly and I need this to be perfect. You know, the truth is a less than perfect reminder that is providing value and is still helpful for a consumer is better than not sending one, right? So we can capture sales. And I think that's the one thing that's really hard for people to say, well, it reflects on my brand. customers will appreciate the value of the message versus the how perfect the message is. And I think those are the two things where we find these similarities between, again, brands that might be doing automation really well and then brands that are maybe struggling with it. And it's not being perfect and one at a time. So we have one of our other mantras at OmniSend internally is progress, not perfection. Right. And I think that applies to marketers across the board as well. And I think that's, it's something that brands should look at and say, can I just get it going? Right. And then you can always go back and optimize it.
So what I'm hearing from that one, just to clarify, is what I'm hearing is focus on one automation at a time, like do the welcome series and build out the welcome series so it has multiple messages, not just one welcome series message, not just one email, cart recovery email, but basically like building out the automation, doing one at a time, focusing on actually getting it right, don't just have it, while also balancing, like it doesn't need to be perfect. The difference between one email and six emails that are super tuned and every subject line is split tested, like that's not necessarily what you're saying. You're saying make it a good, robust welcome series, focus just on the welcome series, then move on to the next one and as you're getting data. Is that right?
Yeah, so this goes into the debate mode, right? You get one welcome message out there, that first one going. Now you have the option to say, okay, do I want to finish this series or do I want to get the first cart abandonment out there just so we're hitting people at different points of their customer journey? And then once you get those four key messages or the three, if you decide you want to do three, you go back and say, okay, where am I getting the most revenue from? Because you're collecting data in the background. So we're saying, okay, our welcome message is doing well, but our cart abandonment's crushing it. Like this is where we're getting revenue from. Let's go ahead and get the second message going there. So it doesn't mean you have to do all three consecutively, but I think if you hit different stages of that customer journey, it gives you the option to collect data, drive revenue, and then figure out where you want to focus your next attention to. Now, some people will say, okay, I got the first welcome message. It's automated. It's sending. Let me go ahead and finish it off. I don't think it's a bad strategy. I think it depends on what your other messages are, because if you're focused all on the acquisition, not bad, but I mean, cart abandonment, right? They're so close to making the purchase. You tip them over that line or, you know, how do we capture a window shopper? So this goes into the debate where I don't think there's a right answer or a wrong answer, but it kind of depends on what other messages you have in your program. Myself,
yeah, totally makes sense.
I'll give you what I would do, because why not, right? I would do one message of each series at a time. And like I said, you go back once you finish, say, the third or fourth one. So, hey, I got my first post-purchase thank you message going out there. I've got the data, and I would then look at it and say, okay, chances are cart abandonment is going to convert the best for you. Even though I said welcome message, 52% conversion rate, I think cart's ultimately going to convert better for you over the long run, drive the most revenue. I would then go do a second cart abandonment and then maybe a second welcome message. And that's how I would approach it.
Got it. Totally makes sense. What's some additional gaps that stood out? Maybe something related to like the routine of how they're running email, or maybe like mindset around email. Maybe it's, you know, omni-channel stuff. Like, what's some additional gaps that stood out?
So I think the other two that we really look at here, and the one is not, this first one's not in the stats report. The second one is, but I'll give you anecdotal stuff. And then what I've seen over time and what I used to do as a consultant as well. But I think implementing is one, optimizing is the second. And that's really the key. We talked about optimizing messages, make them look prettier or do whatever. I think the other part of optimizing is what you want to do with your workflows. So cart abandonment is a really good example of this, right? Say you have a $49 free shipping threshold on your website. Well, an easy split to do on your optimization for your workflow automation is to say, okay, let's filter by cart abandonment, like cart total, right? So we have under $49 is the cart. We send one message that is maybe encouraging them to increase their spend so they get free shipping. And maybe we want to incentivize them, maybe we don't, but your value add and the key focus of that message is a lot different than the person who maybe abandoned a $300 cart. They've qualified for free shipping, doesn't really matter to them. And I've gotten emails like this before. I was like, hey, free shipping. I'm like, there's $800 in my cart. It's a dishwasher, right? I know I qualified for it. So I think this is the other thing where if you're over that free shipping threshold, you, like that's a nice touch add-on. It could just be in your header or something, but like, what does that person care about at that point? Well, it's probably return policies or satisfaction guarantees or speed of shipping, or, you know, they have different needs and different reasons for abandoning. So a very simple split is if you have a free shipping threshold, split it based on cart total. you know, and then make your value points a little bit different, the messaging. This happens with really any purchase, any automation you have post-purchase, cart abandonment, browse abandonment as well. If you think about the purchaser itself, so you can easily put a split in there and say, all right, have they purchased before? Yes or no. Have they purchased one time and this is now their second purchase, which we know is where a customer is going to get the, they start to turn profitable at that point, right? Or more profitable at that point. Or are they a loyal customer? Because that might dictate what you want to do from an incentive standpoint, a number of messages standpoint, a timing standpoint, a channel standpoint. So a simple split like that. Have they purchased before? No. Let's get them purchasing one time. How do we get them to go a second time? So these are really simple things that you can do to automate. It takes 2 seconds to put a split in a workflow there. Now you have to come up with, you know, a different creative or a different verbiage, but it's minuscule to improve the experience there. The other thing is I mentioned channels, and this is in the stats report, SMS. I mean, this is a huge topic nowadays. You know, SMS marketing has been around for years. We're at the tipping point now where it's just full scale, right? It is a channel. If you're not doing it, I keep saying, if you're not doing it by this time next year, you're going to be playing catch up. It's going to be too late. There's a lot of reasons for that. So give you a couple stats here just to put this in the perspective. So 2020, we sent nearly 400% more SMS messages than we did the previous year. And I talked about 31 million SMS messages. Right. Conversion rates over that time. And a lot of times the more you send, conversion rates kind of come down, over 100% improvement year over year as well. So not only are we sending more consumer, which means consumers are adopting it more, so are brands, but they're converting from there, right? So then I look at, all right, what do we do with the purchase experience now or the customer journey? Well, we can implement, you mentioned at the intro, we allow you through OmniSend to put SMS into the same workflows as email. So we talk about these splits, you know, cart abandonment. Are they an SMS subscriber? Yes. Well, maybe we don't need to send them 3 emails. Maybe we need to send them 1 email and then we give them this SMS message, you know, reminding them to come back to the cart or whatever. So SMS is one of these things that, you know, it is just a mainstay of marketing now. It's still, it's increasingly being used, but I still think it's underutilized. So there's a lot of opportunity, I think, for brands here to jump on and get ahead of their competition a little bit right now. Now, the other thing, John, that I look at is, okay, it's a great channel, right? People are aware of it. Some people don't like it. Some think their customers won't like it. There's 2 things I always look at here, right? So holiday season, e-commerce brands, holiday season was like push comes to shove. If something's not working then, might be an indication it's too early. It's not going to work. SMS blew up during the holidays last year. So Black Friday was the number one Sunday for SMS, which makes sense. It's one of the high, you know, second highest shopping day, typically the first or second highest email send volume day. Brands are using it to cut through that inbox noise, right? Because they know everyone's sending 4 or 5 emails a day. But through OmniSend, almost 3% of all sent email order, all orders through OmniSend last year on Black Friday came on from SMS messages. So if you think about it, nearly three. And I would tell an e-commerce brand, like, how would you like to raise your Black Friday revenue 3%, right? Would you take that? You know, most people would take 0.5%, right? But if I go 3%, great. You know, I think the number was 2.5%, but I'm just rounding up here. So, you know, it's being used during the holidays, and that is proof point to me, number one. I think the other thing here, which is kind of a lazy anecdote. It used to be a real anecdote, but now it's kind of a lazy anecdote. It's like these generational cohorts. And they're like, well, you know, it's only for young people. It's for Gen Z or whatever. I like to remind people now, I'm aging myself because I'm a Gen Xer, but millennials are now in their young 40s, right? So let's remove that from there. Gen Z, which is your younger generation, like they're graduating from college 2 years ago, right? They're like 23 this year. So like to say, like the purchasing power with them is immense, but this is now the world. And you go Gen Xers who are me, you know, young to mid 40s and above, and everyone below, I mean, that's three quarters of your US demographic right there. So to say that, now baby boomers are still texting as well. I mean, no one goes a day without checking the SMS message. So, you know, this narrative of you got to be young to text, I think is out the window, but like classify young for me. It's, you know, 75% of the US population here. So, you know, that is another thing where it's another one of these proof points to say, you should probably get on this. I'm going to keep talking, John, if I can. I think the beauty is less for you, right? I think the beauty here is that, so you can collect SMS numbers the same time you're collecting email addresses on a pop-up. The beauty there is that just because you collect it doesn't mean you have to use it right away, right? So you might have a couple brands that, based on product or demographic or whatever the reason is, maybe it's not the perfect fit for SMS, and that's okay. But if you ask for SMS and no one's opting into it, that is your own specific brand's proof point to say, okay, maybe our customers don't want that channel. If they're opting into it, you don't lose anything. You got the SMS, the mobile number, but it's your proof point that, yeah, my customers do want it and they do want to hear from it. And I think the value of opt-in channels now, with what we're seeing from iOS 14 and iOS 15 updates, the 15 is going to be a big one, but like knowing that you have these opt-in channels that people are wanting and they're purposely choosing to receive messages for cannot be understated now. You know, come this fall, right before holiday season, when iOS 15 rolls out, it's going to be a game changer, right? Email is going to be not turned upside down, but it is going to be forever shifted from what we're doing now and metrics we're looking at. SMS is one of those fill the gaps there in relation to iOS 15. So that's a big one.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see that. And I feel like that trend of owning the customer relationship has repeated itself in so many channels, with, you know, organic search in the early days. Then, you know, with iOS 14 and the whole ad game, like there was a lot of value in having, you know, really built up Facebook pixel and, you know, having all that data in there. And then, you know, now it's much less valuable, right? And so it's really important just to own those channels. And one thing that stood out to me of what you just said is, I think I'm paraphrasing a bit, but collecting the SMS audience now, like building up that SMS audience now, even if you don't have some grand plan of like how you're going to communicate with all of them, just having that as part of your whole cycle with customers is good, because it shows you if they're interested, and then you have it as an asset, and then you can use it and test it and go from there. So it's important to build that up. I want to do kind of a quick recap in a second, but is there anything else, any other big insights you think are super important for the listeners as we wrap things up?
I think I briefly mentioned iOS 15 here a second ago. So I'm sure if you're in email marketing, you've heard about it by now. We launched a website called opensordead.com, but really just a high level of what this means. There's a lot of things with the update. Biggest thing for email marketers is that Apple's not going to let you track whether the email is opened or not, which creates a whole slew of cascading waterfall effect. What that ultimately means is that it's not a reliable metric. You're still going to see open rates. Those numbers are going to be skewed, but what happens with Gmail, what happens with other providers a year from now, we don't know, but open rates are not a reliable metric anymore. So if you think about things like remailing or booster sends, whatever term you want to use for them. So sending something 2 days after the initial send, if they didn't open, gone. Any sort of automation you have based on whether they open the email, gone. Well, what does that mean come the holiday season when we're doing things like this? Well, remails are a common tactic there, right? So this is where SMS kind of fits in. Well, instead of remailing, if they're an SMS subscriber, right, you have the option to then target them on a different channel and make it new, whatever. So, I mean, there's a lot of ramifications there, but I think that's the big one where email marketers should start preparing for that reality now, because we're going to have to start basing things on clicks or conversions. Like there's different metrics, pretty much killing the open rate, right? Which I've always railed against the open rate when it came to clients of mine. So, I mean, it's a health thing from a deliverability standpoint. We don't know what's going to happen with that yet, but I'm kind of glad open rates are kind of going away as like this gold star metric, but it's going to change how a lot of marketers think, and especially new marketers coming in, that is a little problematic for them. So outside of the iOS 15, you know, owning that data and having that first party data is crucial. If your provider, OmniSend does, so it's a somewhat shameless plug, but right, tracking email activity, we're tracking clicks, activity, things like this, SMS activity, having the ability to do Google ad resync or Facebook ad resync from the same platform you're collecting that first party data from, which is why these opt-in channels are so important now. You don't have to rely on, you know, some other method of getting Facebook data now that Apple kind of shut that off or gave the opportunity for consumers to shut that off, which most are opting into. So if you could put all this stuff into one platform and then be able to spit that out and use it strategically, It's huge for marketers. OmniSend does that, by the way, but whether you're with OmniSend or not, look for things that like that, that you can use multiple touch points with that opt-in data, because that's going to be key for marketers, I think, as we move to next year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing to see just that trend of where things are at. So for the listener, we're going to have some solid show notes that you can dig into with some of these resources. But, you know, the things that stood out to me from what you mentioned, Greg, is just automations are super, super important for increasing sales. We talked about 29% of all email revenue comes from automated sends, even though they're less than 2% of sends. So again, like classic 80-20 on steroids, right? We're talking 98-2 or something. I don't know. I don't know what the math is.
You can apply that to anything, right?
Yeah. Do automations for sure. The other part though that Greg mentioned, which I think is important as people are kind of honing in on their action items from this, is don't just check the box and say, okay, welcome email is done. Okay, abandoned cart email is done. Like really focus on building those things out, being intentional with what's in there, track the data on how they're doing, while also balancing that against the whole perfection game of like, you know, get it out there, make it good, but don't spend a month building out a three-part email series, right? Like spend however much time you need to, but maybe not more than a week, right? I don't know exactly how long this stuff should take, but I wouldn't spend more than a couple of days on it max. The other takeaway too I saw is, you know, segmenting the audience within automations. And that's something we get into a lot of client accounts for, you know, different systems they're using, including email. And building out the automations is key, but also segmenting those audiences in the automations is really important. And Greg mentioned, you know, where they're at with the free shipping threshold as an example, right? Like have a different offer depending on where they're at. Are they in the SMS channel or not, right? So then you can basically, you know, change the medium of how you're communicating. So that was a good takeaway. And then last one is SMS. If you're not focused on at least building an SMS list and nurturing that to some extent, you'll be behind the industry pretty quick on that. So lots of good takeaways. Greg, for people that want to continue the conversation or dig in, you mentioned a couple of resources during the actual interview. Can you kind of recap those as a way to connect before we wrap up?
Sure. So OmniSend's website, omnisend.com, pretty simple. I mentioned the iOS 15 update. So opensaredead.com, great resource. And it's not only our resource, but we have industry people, commentaries, we have podcasts, webinars, all that stuff in there as well. So check that out. If you want questions for me, feel free to email me, greg@omnisend.com. That's just one G. So greg@omnisend.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Twitter, wherever you want. So I think those are the big ones here. The stats report, go to the resources section in OmniSend. You'll find them there. I got the data today for the first half of 2021. So within a couple of weeks, or if this is after, if you're watching this, we'll have a 2021 first half stats report out for you as well. So you can kind of see the shifts and behavior changes there. So beyond that, I think people can find me or find OmniSend.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll throw those in the show notes, but thanks for everyone listening. I hope that that you found this helpful, and definitely make an action item list of some things to put in place, because that's really what we want to do with e-commerce town hall, is enable you to get actionable takeaways that you can apply. So I know Greg dropped a lot here. Feel free to ask any questions as needed. And Greg, just thanks for your time today. We really appreciate it.
John, appreciate you having me, man. This was fun.
Awesome. Take care. Thanks for tuning in to e-commerce town hall. For more resources related to today's episode, visit ecommercetownhall.com. And don't forget to check out HelpFlow. HelpFlow provides 24/7 live chat teams to over 100 e-commerce stores and can drive more sales while providing an awesome customer experience through their live chat agents. HelpFlow's done-for-you 24/7 live chat team can predict and save abandons directly on your website by engaging with chat. They can also use conversational upsells to increase average order value in a way that feels good to visitors. Ultimately, they're going to provide an overall amazing brand experience to your customers. Learn more today at helpflow.com.